Aloha.
Aloha, brother.
Ah, Brother Nicholas, what a blessing. We've been graced with Brother Nicholas's presence after many moons of intense traveling and transformation. So what a blessing. So, Nick, while we wait for Taylor to get on, why don't you spend a minute or so just what realizations you've had, and we'll
I'm
get
here.
There we go. Hello, Taylor.
Aloha.
Aloha.
All right, well then. Welcome back, Nick.
Thank you so much, dear.
It's nice to have your voice with us once again.
Yeah, nice to be here.
Yay. So, I'm sure Nick will weave a few stories into his answers to these questions. So, why don't we just take a few breaths and then we'll get into the questions. Nick, would you like to guide us on a little inner journey for a moment?
Sure, yeah. Let's just take a few soft, gentle, deep breaths and really drop it into that heart space. It's such a tender time, the contrast between the appearance of the world and what's going on inside of us as all these layers are being dissolved and dismantled. So let's really drop into that sweet, 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 tender heart space, feeling very safe and supported here. Infusing the beauty of our tenderness to really connect with that soul consciousness within us. And the love, this great power in life that seems to be getting closer and closer and closer within us. And just really offer our hearts like a grail there to be filled with this love. Giving thanks, giving thanks, giving thanks. And that tender chalice. And let's just imagine from that heart space, just ripples going out across creation. From this epicenter of consciousness. And just use that warrior focus, that determination to hold that vision and that feeling, that certainty, that burning nishchay. Unity consciousness. Deep heart-centered soul consciousness emanating those high vibrations of love throughout all creation, just sending out the waves, heart-shaped wave going from this epicenter of focus, heart-shaped waves going out from this epicenter of focus. And just giving thanks for that. Lovely, lovely, lovely.
Yay. Thank you, brother. So, we've got a few questions, and anyone listening live, feel free to ask more questions in that lovely question box, and anyone on the phone, you can press star 2 to raise your hand, and we will unmute you, and you can ask us a question in person. So, why don't we just kick it off with just mentioning something from Nick from Ireland. It says, thank you so much, Taylor and Michael, for your help regarding my relationship question of the last call. I now realize I was too much in the mind instead of the heart to really experience the flow of my life and the joyful connection in my relationship. Heartfelt blessings, Nick. Oh, so nice to hear that. What a blessing. Lovely to hear that. If Nick, if you want to share anything else about your experience, we'd love to hear it. Sounds like you realized that you actually had the love there and just maybe hadn't noticed it for a period of time. And that often is the case in relationships. We can take people for granted rather than realizing how wonderful they are and how much joy there is. So, next question is from Michelle from the Netherlands. She says, gives us lots of blessings, but then she says, question, how do you feel or know if you do enough to move forwards towards your vision, dharma, and mission? Most of the time I feel super excited and confident, but sometimes I wonder myself if I'm doing enough to make it happen and get a little stressed out, as well as the how I can do it, which she says in brackets, I know is 1% and is unknown. It makes me feel a bit insecure sometimes. How can I shift and get myself more clear when I have this insecure feeling? Thank you much, super love, Michelle. Yes, another wonderful question, wouldn't you say?
Absolutely. And I think those comments from Nick, that really captures the keynote of what's going on at the moment, this movement into this deeper heart space and the tremendous trust that's required when we're moving out of the mind, which is based on all the old programming, all the old conditioning, belonging to the old world that's being completely rearranged and becoming redundant, those old forms. And this movement into deep soul-centered heart space. And I had a beautiful conversation with Michelle the other day. It's her 7 week. She'd been on the training and we had an hour on the phone and she's telling me about her life and where she is. And she's actually working on the meat and cheese counter in a local supermarket. And we talked about her establishing herself in something that she's more interested in. But right now, although she's... you know, that sounds like it would be a very disharmonious place to work, inappropriate place to work for someone who's interested in superfoods and raw foods, serving meat and cheese all day to carnivores. but actually, it's the perfect place. We're all in the perfect place at the perfect time. And the opportunity is to drop into that deep heart space and just emanate and radiate from there. And that little, the power that comes from that is what gives us the propulsion to move from point A to point B in our lives. And that's the main thing to focus on, is getting the power, not stressing about how it's all going to happen, because we just don't know. There's such a mystery being revealed, especially in this time, as more and more and more of these forms are being dismantled and dissolved within us. And if we go into that mental place It can be become extremely confusing and overwhelming very, very swiftly. And it's very natural for us to oscillate between heart and mind. And not just heart and mind, the mind is absolutely connected to the lower chakras, the gut response, the emotional response for everything, which this low vibratory matrix keeps us, wants to keep us stuck in. And so those are the survival centers. And so the survival center is linked to the logical mind. And so we feel an emotional response to stressful situations, and then the logical mind kicks in with all of its analysis. We can't see any way out, and we feel our survival is threatened, and we're stressed. And so these are kind of programmed responses that we've been conditioned into and identified with for most of our life. And so what we focus on is coming into that deep love center and really connecting through the soul consciousness, through the epicenter within the unity consciousness within there, into the power, the real power within. And then we can bypass those that conditioned reflex to the way the world appears to be. And we become a lot more comfortable with the unknown, a lot more comfortable with relaxing into surrendering instead of stressing about how things are going to unfold. But it's natural for us to oscillate, and we can't help that. Thing is, will we just use our superhero powers just to gently bring ourselves back with lots and lots of love and tenderness back into that place, breathing from the heart center and just taking those breaths and just surrendering? Because if you're visioning, you've got your vision board, you're setting your intentions, as long as you're powering up, then your life is going to bring you what you need through the synchronicity. Doors are going to open in the cycle of things as the cycles of time and space do what they have to do. Everything has its time and a purpose and a season. There's a time to plant the seeds. There's a time to harvest the fruits. And we can't get things back to front. So we need to, all of this training is to help us become more and more natural, supernatural, centered in our deepest inner nature. And there are tremendous realms of vibratory content in the psyche to navigate, especially if you're an old, old soul, in order for you to access that core of your inner being. And because we are service-oriented and heart-centered beings, we are here to serve humanity, and so we're feeling all the vibrations of everybody else's fear and confusion and all of the rest of it. It's like static, coming through on our radio, our own radio station. So you're doing great, Michelle. Don't worry about anything. The moon is just about full, and things are going to open up for you to move forward in your life when it's full moon pop. So lots of love to you. Lovely talking to you the other day, and you're doing really, 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 really good.
Yay. And just a few little other points there for you, Michelle. How do you know if you're doing enough to move toward your vision, dharma, mission? One of the things that I'd like to encourage people to do is to really, first of all, make sure that they're seeing their vision regularly, feeling it, so they know actually what it is. Hopefully you know what your vision is. I'm not sure that exactly at this point. what is your vision? So you know what it is, and you can feel it, you can see it, you've got it written down somewhere, it's actually tangible to you. And then once you know what your vision is, as clearly as you can, then next question is, you know, what can you do to move towards it? And it might be as simple as talk to this person, phone someone up, you know, it might just be keep the vision and see it and feel it. But write down every single thing you can think of and keep asking it, keep asking it. If you ask the question, what can I do, what can I do, what can I do to move towards my vision, what can I do? You'll get out, you'll get ideas in the shower, you'll get ideas when you're walking in nature. Things are going to come to you. Write them all down. And then every day, in one way or another, do something very practical towards it. So it could be set up a website. It could be, you know, go into a particular place and leave a poster there. It could be, you know, go on Facebook and connect with some people who you have an idea about. It could be send an email and get an interview with someone so they can help you with it. You know, there's going to be all kinds of practical things for your situation. But just make sure you keep the vision, write down any steps that come to you, and start doing those things. Because what's going to happen if you do that is that when you go to sleep at night, you're going to feel really, really good. That yes, today I actually did something. I did as much as I could. I spent the time that I had doing stuff, and I feel movement. And we don't always know every single thing involved. You know, Nick was just in England recently telling me about the chocolate company that I co-founded back in the day and haven't had anything to do with really since then. And it's now this huge factory with these big machines and all this crazy stuff and like noises and like weird tubes and like massive amounts of chocolate all over the place. I want to see the pictures of it. But Nick painted a picture. Frankly, Richard, who did the chocolate company, didn't know, in all honesty, everything he needed to do to get to the point where he's making, I think, what was it, up to, how much was it, bro? Up to $250,000 bars a month or something?
Yeah, that's right. That's their max production now, which they've got to start hitting. That's 13,000 bars a day.
Yeah, 13,000 bars a day. And I remember when we were doing this in our kitchen, obviously not 13,000 bars, but we were just making the stuff in a pot, you know, at one point. Then we bought a machine and started doing like that. And then now it's got to this big factory, 13,000 bars a day, 22, you know, $250,000 a month maximum production. And that's what they're going to have to do to keep up with things. But did he have any idea what he was doing? Not really, but he just took the next step, took the next step, took the next step. And now he's got to work out what he's going to do to take it to the next level. Same with us with the CPO training. Same with Taylor and no doubt with the stuff she's done. So you don't always know every single thing. But as long as you keep moving forward, taking action and really listening and doing stuff, listening and doing stuff, you're going to feel better for a start and you're going to move forward. And also if you feel insecure, then just understand everyone feels a bit insecure at times. You know, it's not at all unusual to think, oh, you know, can I really do this? Is there something wrong with me? Is this going to work? You know, everyone has those thoughts in their own way. So don't worry about it. Don't think that that's a sign that you should stop doing it. But just by taking action, even if you feel that way, it kind of cures the fear and insecurity. So just get in the habit of taking action. Anything you want to say about that, Taylor?
I think that's all well said. Sometimes, Michael, you're going in and out. I'm not sure why. It gets a little gurgly and hard to hear.
Okay.
Yeah, I would just add to all those suggestions. You know, I really am a big fan of like Michael's saying, you know, in everything you're doing, even when you aren't taking little steps or working on it or even thinking about it, that you just set your intention. Because maybe sometimes you can't work on it. You know, maybe you have to another job that you're working on or, you know, whatever it is, you're cleaning the house. But I like to, you know, given that everything is energy, I like to to direct whatever I'm doing toward a particular end or means. And so, you know, I would also just suggest that you're using the invisible power of your intention and your support structure to move things forward even when you aren't working on it or, you know, working on other things completely different. And the other thing I would just add is that I really find that, you know, before things manifest as in the physical, they manifest energetically. And so any amount of time that you spend just visualizing it and seeing the next steps occur, I find just moves it forward with even more velocity. And sort of daydreaming, you know, like Mike was saying, Ishar, just this, just finding yourself daydreaming in that daydreaming state is really potent state of creation and manifesting.
So there you have it. Take that on and let us know the results. These are very deep things we've all shared with you. And again, it's always about taking action, doing something differently than you did yesterday. Because if today is the same as yesterday, same, and it's all the same, you're going to keep getting the same result. So it's always important for everyone to have your... I learned this recently, a pack my bag moment. It might sound a bit cheesy, but there's a moment when in these calls and in videos where you could say, that was all I listened to on the call, I can take that away with me, pack my bag and leave, and I've taken something with me. So when when you're on these things, what is your pack my bag moment? What is it where you got that thing and you can just go off and do something? You don't need to, everything we say, you don't need to, you know, apply every tiny little thing, but what is the thing for you personally that means something, that's going to create a shift, that is something you can do, and just focus on that. And then if you keep doing that, you end up more and more and more refined and end up getting the result that you want. So what other questions have we got today? Got one from Claudia, haven't we?
Yeah, Claudia is stoked. You congratulated her for falling asleep.
Yeah, Claudia was sharing last time about that she's new to meditation, she's been falling asleep, and I was telling her that, you know, she obviously has gone into a deep delta state if that's happening, because a lot of people try and meditate and they get angry and stressed out and want to hit things, and she's falling asleep, so she's obviously getting relaxed. Next question she's got today is, well, you know, the more she goes in the training, she finds there's all these other meditations that we've got. She's now wondering, what meditation should I be doing? She's already getting up at 5 and wondering, so she needs to get up earlier. You know, how can she make all this happen? And which one to do? Well, you know, honestly, Claudia and everyone, I think we all need to get up at 1 o'clock and do 6 hours meditation. I'm only joking. We don't need to do that. But we do need to find out for us personally, out of all these meditations, which one give you the result that you like? Which ones do you resonate with right now? What kind of experience do you want? And go for that. The reason we've got all these different meditations is because everyone's different. Everyone is at a different stage in their journey. Everyone needs a different thing. So I recommend you listen to one in the morning. You know, just you can do it randomly if you want to start with. So you get an idea of what these different meditations are for and what the result is and what the experience is for you. And then based on where you're going and what you need, just focus on the one that really works best. And I can't tell you what that is exactly without, you know, knowing more background. But that's the sort of thing that you can really just tune into. If you've got them all on your iPod or your iPhone, you can just, you know, flick through it and just pick one. That's what I would recommend.
I'd like to say something, Michael, if I can, and I'd love to hear what Taylor says about this as well. When Mike just said, well done, you're actually entering into the delta wave, the deep theta, and delta waves of relaxation, a lot of people get angry and start kicking things. The reason that is, even though Mike might have said that a little tongue-in-cheek, is that once you start going into yourself, once you start going within, and this is the big shift that is occurring in the world as more and more and more individuals are awakening, they're realizing that the actual direction that we need to go for our nourishment, for our empowerment, for our inspiration, for the love that we're looking for all of these things that we're looking in the external world for, is actually inside of us. And it's actually critical that we go on this journey within consciously, because life is going to take us in there. It takes everybody in there as they go through their the journey of their life, through youth into old age, and through death. That's just the way of things. The energies project out when we're all enthusiastic about living and achieving, and then when death gets closer, the energies return within, and we become much, much more introspective. Well, this is occurring now as we're witnessing the death of the old, in terms of this old system, this old way of being, this dysfunctional, disharmonious, toxic way of being. So we are consciously moving in there. When you start to navigate these realms within you, you start to bring light in there. You start to take love in there. You start to connect and unify your mind through soul consciousness and go to this epicenter of your being that's in the heart of it all. This is where all the power is, the purifying power. And so what happens is that power, that light, that love, you can call it what you want, that spirit, it starts to come into your psyche and it starts to purify certain areas of your psyche that are disharmonious, that are toxic, namely emotional trauma, emotional content that is trapped in the psyche, in the folds of the psyche, that it's a vibrational, the vibration that's kind of been in there for a long time. And the more I research this and understand this from my own processes and experience, it's not just yours necessarily. It's stuff you can have picked up in the womb. It's stuff that you can have inherited from your ancestors, because we are souls. And so once this stuff starts to move, it's very disturbing when you're trying to meditate. But the thing about it is, and this isn't for everyone, but it is for most people. Most of us have trauma in the psyche, trauma from our childhood, in varying degrees, and that psychic content, when it starts to move, it is the emotional. It has the same age. Whatever the emotion, whatever the trauma is, whenever it happens, for instance, if something traumatic happened to you when you were 4 years old or 2 years old, then what's happening is that that inner child, that wounded child, is a two-year-old and a four-year-old part of you that is needing love and attention. And so one of the worst things we can do, and this is definitely something that I've done a lot to myself, and I've witnessed it a tremendous amount in many, 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 many people that try to get into hardcore yogic practices, which have an aesthetic tone to them, where you basically ignore these vibrations in yourself. You ignore the emanations from your mind. You ignore the thoughts. you ignore this little voice crying out inside of you for attention. And so if that is the case, you're a lot better off instead of sitting on a hard wooden floor and ignoring that inner child, is to go and lay down on something comfortable and cuddle up with a little teddy bear and give it lots and lots and lots and love and let it know that it is loved and literally love it better. Because when the psychic content comes up, it's like you're shining a light on it with your higher consciousness, your higher awareness, especially in these deeply relaxed states. You have the golden opportunity there and then to dissolve it forever through love. But if you ignore it and you try and focus your mind and don't go into it and have a look at the emotional nature of it, the feeling nature of it, then you are suppressing and repressing it, and you're adding brutality to the brutality, and you're essentially making the situation a lot worse. And this is a very, 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 very interesting theme that we're going to be expanding on more and more and more in superhero training and doing some special stuff for you, dealing primarily and specifically with this inner child, this wounded child, this toxic child, what to do, what not to do. And it's something I feel is a missing component in just about all of the, the really popular spiritual practices, things like Vipassana meditation, stuff like that, where it's very much about conquering the mind, the old warrior archetype of conquer something, beat something into submission, destroy something, kill the ego. All of these things belong to old school thought. And they really don't work. And that's why 99% of the people that champion those things are essentially dysfunctional. And so this is good news for us all. So that's my 10 cents on it. It's wonderful that you can relax, and it's a good sign that you don't have these complexes in you to any great degree. Or maybe you do, and it's just you're bypassing it by falling asleep instead of looking at it. We'll definitely have to talk more about this. Like I say, we're going to be doing some more stuff off it. But it's a point I really wanted to make, and something that's very relevant in the world out there. Taylor, what do you got to say about that? I know you've had a lot of experience with being a child.
Well, I have to say that these are the times when that whole body of data, let's call it, or information or energy that we have stored within us, and most of it is unconscious, if not all of it, mm-hmm. is coming to the surface,
yeah.
and running many different shows, actually, one way or the other, you know, whether it's consciously and with support and embracing it in love and light to help transform it and shift it and evolve it, or just pure out circumstances that are occurring, which will call it forth. And like Nick just said, it's good news. It's good news because, you know, better out than in. That's the way I always look at these things. And and really what it comes down to is what is our relationship to it, and can we be empowered in the face of anything that we're dealing with? And that's really, that is the whole mission of the superhero. And so, you know, the real gift in it is to be able to assume new perspectives and be able to shift at any moment into higher perspectives, or just seeing it differently than perhaps the inherited patterns or ways which you may be thrown to see it, is all sometimes it takes to shift massive, old, really deeply stuck patterns. And we have now the support sort of energetically to be able to do that in ways we just didn't have before. And so, you know, it's a good time for all of us to be looking, not just, you know, wait till it comes to the surface, but kind of really take stock, take, you know, spend some time in your intimate relationships and really look like, well, you know, well, what, you know, why did I marry you? Or what, you know, why am I in relationship with you? Or like, you know, why am I living here? Why am I doing what I'm doing? I mean, these are critical questions, almost as if we have the opportunity now to re-examine everything that we think ourselves to be and how it was constructed, and almost like take it apart like a puzzle and see if we want to put it together the same way, or just, you know, chuck it and create some whole new phenomenon. And that's really exciting. It's a really exciting opportunity. And, you know, and this idea, I find, you know, I shared last week whenever Michelle said that, you know, I mean, when I started first doing meditations, everyone would pass out. I mean, literally, I mean, I'd look around and people were snoring. I had to, like, adjust the sound because, you know, all I kept getting in the background was, you know, variations of the snoring theme on all my recordings. And, you know, I was a little concerned about that initially because I had this idea that people were not getting anything. I mean, it would make sense, you know. And what I discovered over time was that level of surrender, that level of just swamping out the mental grid work such that you could just be in that open to receive of a posture was profound, very profound, and deep evolution could take place there. Now, translating that to the waking mind, you know, is another matter, but I wouldn't be too concerned that you have to, you know, one of the things that's sometimes said over and over again when I lead transmissions is don't worry if you aren't following the words anymore. Don't worry. Just let that go and just follow the flows and the energy and just see where that takes you. And, you know, words are just carrier waves for energy. So a lot of these meditations are essentially carrier waves of energy that can take you to places that may have nothing to do with the meditation whatsoever, but are the places that are there for you to illuminate or bring light to. And so, you know, I wouldn't get too concerned about, you know, following them or tracking them or even staying awake for them to some degree, unless you're really, you know, it's really important for you to get the words. And maybe just trust the process, because I found by doing that with people in my courses over time, there was levels of going in and out of that phase, and a lot of evolution took place in unexpected ways and, you know, surprising ways. So, you know, it's an interesting time of exploration, internal exploration that's unprecedented.
Absolutely. Amazing time. Absolutely amazing.
Very deep things. Very, very deep things. So, next question we have. Don't say who it's from. Aloha, while meditating, how do I know if what I'm seeing or visioning is really being delivered from the universe, or if my mind is just making it up, showing me what I want to see? I was reading a book about it, and it got me thinking, and I'm not sure how to tell the difference between the two. Also, how do I know if I'm open to receive from the universe? Taylor, what's your feeling on this? I know you've talked great lengths about all this weird and wacky stuff and people thinking too much and getting confused. Love to hear your thoughts on that.
Weird
what's
and wacky
Uncle Nick?
Stuff. All right, then.
Because there is a lot of books around. Just before you answer that, there's so many books around, so many people's opinions. It can get very confusing to anyone trying to make sense of all this stuff when you start believing things that you read. So can don't think you're alone if you're confused about these type matters.
Indeed. So many variations and opinions. It's astounding. I've heard over and over again in transmissions that the imagination is the doorway to the soul. And I firmly believe that. And I think my sense is that's why kids are just little light beings. You know, they're walking around just imagining and making stuff up. You know, the other day I had the window open and there were kids playing outside next door. And I was laying there listening to them. And it was it was so deep and profound, the level of imagination that was going on there. I just felt like, oh my God, I just want to go play with them. Like, geez, oh man, listen to how elaborate this is. And they were, you know, giving each other directions about the proper way to construct, you know, mud pies and this, that, and the other thing, and the levels of mud pies and what would happen and the prince that was coming, you know, to eat them. And I mean, it was so fantastic that I was spellbound. And the level of their eagerness to just keep taking it to the next level of fantasticness, you know, was phenomenal. And so, I've often in transmissions have heard the guide say, look, you know, imagine this, that, or the other thing. And even if you feel like you're making it up, so what, sort of thing. Like, it doesn't really matter. And that's not a bad place to begin by making it up, because it is utilizing the imagination, which is a tool I find, for whatever reason, when you become an adult, you put on the back burner. But, you know, there's something to be said for getting that out and putting it on the front burner right now and keeping it there and really using it richly, you know, embracing it, and, you know, maybe spend some time with kids so you can get back, you can get re-instructed in that fine art. Because it's a fine art, and it's the doorways of potential are limitless. And so it's not a bad place to begin, even if you are making it up. And I wouldn't even worry about it. I wouldn't even fuss around about, am I making it up? Am I seeing it? What's really happening here? Because at some point, you do strengthen that muscle such that you can see. You know, right now, I mean, I happen to have the gift of being able to channel, and how I'm shown what comes out of my mouth, which I never know what that's going to be, is in images, is in pictures. And then I translate somehow those pictures into words. And that all happens instantaneously without any work or effort on my part. And I'm quite certain that why I have that gift or ability is because of the degree to which I enjoy and appreciate beauty and visualizing things. You know, I look at everything and just visual, and I'm a visual sort of person. So to even begin visualizing things will support you in moving even more fully into having visions, I strongly believe. And, you know, with regard to how do you know if you're open to receive from the universe, I'm guessing, if you're asking this question and you're in this program, you're probably pretty open to receive from the universe. But, you know, you can always ask to be more open. You know, I'm always asking for that. You know, I'd like to, you know, I set an intention to be open to receive any guidance or clarity on this or that, or I'm always kind of asking for that. So I would suggest just that one, I would see yourself as open, and you know that's the first step, you know, because however you see yourself to be, you are. And then two, really just on a regular basis, like before you go into your meditations or your time or just in anything, before you go into your sleep world, ask to be more open to receive, and you will be.
Well said. I'd like to add something as well. When I did a lot of study on near-death experiences, I read about 600 of those once, and everyone was different. Everyone's experience of what happened when they went out of the body, had an experience, and then come back into it was different, and it was all absolutely in harmony with their beliefs, their philosophies, their religious leanings. The Buddhists didn't meet Jesus. The Christians didn't meet Buddha, so on and so forth. And when you look at all the data from the Psychonauts, all the research into LSD and DMT and ayahuasca, there's really a never-ending, infinite realm which we can access through the imagination. So within it all, there is a truth. There's a living truth which is formless. It's beyond all form and vision, and it's beyond all sound and vibration. And I think the benchmark for you to check to see if you're in tune with that truth, that living truth that fuels all of life, is how much peace you feel. If there's a sense of deepening peace in your meditation and your inner journeying, and how much love you experience, if there's a deepening sense of love, that love peace equation gives you that bliss, that super natural bliss. And yeah, you can imagine to your heart's content, but there's something, there's a constant in there that you can connect with, which is, it's irrelevant, the form that goes with it, these never-ending, always changing, forever expanding, shifting kaleidoscope of forms. But there's something much, much, much more imminent, ever-present, really close to you, which is beyond all that, but it's the closest thing there is. And so I'd say your guide is my relationship with that. How do I feel? Am I experiencing more bliss? Am I experiencing more peace? Am I experiencing more love? Am I surrendering more and more and more into that? Trusting more and more and more in that, in the source of all things, the formless, boundless. That's what I'd say is a good thing to guide you through these experiences. And then just have fun with your imagination.
That's great. And just last thing I'd like to add, I'll let Nick answer the next question, is that everything we experience, no matter what it is, whether it's other people, meditation, things in our minds, the universe, different states of bliss, you know, going swimming, reading a book, being with people intimately, whatever it is, it's all subjective. Everything is a subjective experience. And so even our thoughts, even experiences of God and mystical experiences are subjective. as in what that means is that you are having your own version of the experience. No one else can really verify it or agree with it or disagree with it. It's just your own experience. And I find this very useful to think this way, because otherwise it becomes extremely confusing about what's me, what's not me, what's the other person, what's all this. And some teachings say that most of your thoughts are actually not your own thoughts, they're other people's thoughts. And most of your experiences are not your own experiences, they're someone else's experiences.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't agree with that philosophy, because people who think that way normally are using that as a way of not taking responsibility for their own experience and not taking responsibility for their own life, and blaming it on basically the environment and everyone else. And I'm not saying, of course, we don't experience things from around us. Of course we do. But the most powerful, mature way I personally feel to get to grips with this is to say, everything I'm experiencing is recorded in me. I am having the experience myself. And what am I going to do about it? And how can I tune into the different signs in such a way that it makes sense and moves me forward in my life, rather than seeing it that we're these victim of this big bad world and there's all these influences over us, and is it this, is it that, is it this? Just to say, everything that I'm experiencing is my experience. It all belongs to me. It's all inside me. It's all created by me. Just like the astrology, people say, oh, the planets are like this and the planets are like that, as if it's oppressing them. But really, the soul came first, consciousness came first, and based on who you are, the planets and the situations are lining up based on you. So it all comes from consciousness as primary, and the world and creation as secondary. And this is a very deep point that really simplifies life when you start looking in that way, because otherwise you're going to be essentially putting yourself at the mercy of everything. And rather than saying it's all inside of me. Anyway, I just thought that might clarify a few things and simplify it.
Well said. So
what's
this
the next
one,
question,
this one's from Phil in the UK, and he's talking about he's done a lot of clearing of deep trauma over the last month and also had some strong insights into his life purpose. And he's talking about the fluctuations between feeling invigorated and energized and full of joy one day, but then you can feel exhausted, demotivated and sad another day, how quickly that can change. And he's continuing with his practices regardless. He wants to know if the change in his state of mind and body is telling him something, or if he should just ride these waves of emotion. And there's a second part to the question, which I'm going to deal with in a minute, which is related. So there's fluctuations in it all. Of course there is. And the fluctuations are extreme. You're from the UK. I'm from the UK. Born and raised there. And I feel that when we are, born into a certain culture, we are, it's integrated. It's wired into the soul, hardwired into the soul, that we're going to have to deal with a certain amount of cultural conditioning. There's certain behaviors and things that are really, really, really integrated into the culture for you as a member of that culture, as someone grown out of that culture, is going to have to deal with. And of course, different cultures have different things going on. The UK, you're in the UK, and that is, an extremely complex. I was there just a little while ago. It's extremely condensed. It's a tiny little place relative to somewhere like America, with lots and lots and lots of people. It's an old culture, and the old system, the thing that's going away and dissolving, is there as strongly as it is anywhere else in the world. The whole emotion of England, the mass consciousness, is totally plugged into those lower energy centers. They're all addicted, mostly addicted to soap operas and the media that is just firing those survival centers, gut reaction to this, that, and the other. And so the emotional waves that come through, and especially in England because it's so internalized, well, they're going to hit you. They're going to hit you. You're going to be feeling all kinds of things. The extremes that we're dealing with at the moment anyway, the contrast between the real world that is within us being born right now and the external world, the false world, the old mirage that's going away, the contrast between those things is getting more and more acute. And so it's very natural for us to feel these fluctuations. And so this just reinforces the necessity, the absolutely essential and critical, that we experience this unity consciousness within us, unified point within us, soul consciousness, where all potentialities, all probabilities, all possibilities are all merged as pure potential in a perfect status of equanimity. Okay? So if we can exist from that place within us where all things balance, it's a lot easier to navigate through these crazy waves, especially when we're bound up in such a dysfunctional culture as the UK. So you're doing great. It's natural and normal. As soon as you come out of that epicenter of your inner being into your personality, you're subjected to the fluctuation, and you just got to, you know, deal with it. It's just like, you know, 1 minute it's pouring down with rain, the next minute the sun's shining, 1 minute it's windy, the next minute it's not windy. Well, are you going to, you know, go up and down and spin out and go round and round and round just because the weather's changing? Well, it's the same thing with the emotional weather, the psychic weather. So I just want to deal with the second part of the question and let Mike and Taylor chip in so they know what's going on. So this is related. Second question is, I'm very skinny and find it hard to assimilate food. Teacher once told me when you can assimilate light, you'll be able to assimilate food. I used to smoke cannabis regularly to escape from life. Could not find much joy. I have a fast metabolism and feel that my digestion and my happiness are connected. While I have some joyful moments, I'm generally quite serious. Do you have any insights into this and any constructive guidance? Well, yeah, so the two things are related. Your emotional, you're giving us insight into your emotional climate. You've been in this, these habits in this state for X number of years. It defines the construct of your emotional body. It's like wiring, okay? Cannabis is a stimulant, like alcohol is a stimulant, like chocolate is a stimulant, like sex is a stimulant. Any of these stimulants that we're addicted to, any and all of them, well, they burn up our adrenals. They wear out our adrenals. And so we are, when we stop these habits and stop these stimulants, we're not, we don't have the natural biochemicals available to make us feel like we felt before, and so we feel depressed, or we feel like there's something missing, or we feel like there's an emptiness. Whatever you get used to, you miss it when you don't have it, no matter how dysfunctional it is. So there's two things. One is, number one, the smoking thing, again, is the English culture. It's hugely impressed in the English culture, smoke and drink. So as bright, shining souls on the leading edge of awakening in the culture, we are challenged to dissolve that pattern within us, within the cultural conditioning that we have in our soul. So that's a great thing you're doing there, is to stop smoking and clean your whole act up. But then it creates this emptiness. So what are you going to do about that? Well, the thing is, is to, first of all, do some research on adrenal burnout, on adrenal exhaustion. And you'll understand a lot from that. There's a lot of information on this on the internet. Just cruise around, have a look at that, adrenal burnout, adrenal exhaustion. Second thing is check out Patrick Holford's work on, what's that book called, Optimal Nutrition or Natural Highs? What's that one, Mike?
Yeah, that was a good one. Yeah, I can't remember what, it was a purple cover. It's called Natural Highs, that's all I remember.
Yeah, anyway, his name's Patrick Holford, and he's a British author, and he knows how to use supplements, minerals and vitamins and minerals, specifically zinc, manganese, magnesium, vitamin C, and all the B vitamins, to help your brain chemistry to kickstart the natural production of your body to produce the chemicals that you burned out while you were on the unnatural high or the stimulant induced high. See? So there's a little limbo phase. There's a time from moving from the old world into the new world. And this thing about you can't put on weight because, you know, you're not absorbing life. But we need to be in these states of bliss and joy and have enthusiasm for our lives and happiness for us to, you know, to absorb life and to fill out with it. But the old world is dying. It's going away. So there's a death going on and part of us is dying. You see, so that might be showing up in your physical body as well. So the thing again is don't worry about it. Just focus on this inner peace, contentment, stillness, bliss, internal state of love. Loving that inner child. Guaranteed you've got some inner child trauma going on if you're drawn to substances and being stuck in, you know, joyless experiences and can't absorb, you see. So check into that inner child stuff. Check out something called the emotion code. The emotion code. Brilliant, brilliant, brilliant stuff in terms of pinpointing suppressed, trapped emotions and dissolving those. And just keep on with the superhero training stuff. Don't worry about anything. And just keep nurturing and nourishing your deep inner core and understand that you have to rebuild from the inside out. And we're getting taken very, 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 very deep in there now. What we tend to do is if we've, you know, everyone that's wounded, and this is, we're talking about 98%, maybe more of the population. So don't think, you know, you're alone in this. But what happens is people's, what we do is we build a foundation. We construct a personality, a persona, on a foundation which is essentially fragile, and it's destined to crumble and dissolve and fall. And so all of these people that are running around getting fat, like the bankers and these kind of individuals, the greed-oriented, power-oriented individuals that are low on morality, high on work ethic, work, consume, they're getting fatter and fatter and fatter. Well, they're constructed on something extremely fragile. And that is, that foundation is going to be exposed, the fragility of that, and they're going to have to go through a very rude awakening. And so you can't, don't try and build until you've found, until you've really, really, really sorted the foundation out. And you're being called in to go in and get in there and just love it all better, breathe it all better, construct it on something really, really solid, but keep going in and finding that joy that's within you, because it is in there. And if you're not connected up with it already, then you haven't loved yourself enough. You haven't loved the inner child enough. You haven't broken through into your real core inner self. And once you do, you'll find the joy that you're looking for. You'll find the love that you're looking for, the love that you are, and you'll be able to build something solid. And it might look a little bit lean for a while, but don't worry about that. Think of life as a long-term project, not a short-term thing. We're addicted to the quick fix thing. It takes years to reconstruct and build yourself if it's been years of deconstructing and ripping yourself down. So you're doing great, Phil. Don't worry about anything. And lots of love and blessings from me.
Yay. The only thing I'd add about cannabis is that when you feel honestly into what is going on for you when you're smoking cannabis and what happens when you don't smoke it, and you just tune into what, you know, just really be honest with yourself. That's what I did when I stopped smoking cannabis. I just started realizing that this was really messing me up, making me feel very foggy and vague, and distracting me and reducing my ability to function properly. And when I stopped smoking it, I felt clearer, you know, lighter, happier, and more focused. And just being completely blunt and honest with how I was really feeling just allowed me to stop doing it. But up until that point, I wasn't being honest with myself, so I just wasn't able to make the change. I think, if you just tune in, how do I feel now when I'm stoned, and how do I feel when I'm, you know, clear, and keep feeling the difference, and after a while it just becomes an obvious choice once you get to that level of personal experience, because ultimately it is all an experience. And if cannabis was the best thing ever and always made you feel great and always made everyone feel great, I'm sure we would all be doing it and it would be the best thing ever. But if it's not, then just that blatant, super focused, you know, heart on the table, all the cards on the table, honesty with yourself can really make a huge difference.
Yeah, and get into that underpinning. What underpins it all? Any addictions are underpinned by emotional trauma, wounded in a child, and that's the reason why we can't break them. Why the people that are stuck in them and they know they're detrimental for them, we literally cannot break out of them, even though there's a mountain of logic and we want to with all our heart and soul. If you're still stuck in something, whether it's a feeling state associated with it, lack of joy, whatever, then there is a part of you that is deeply wounded and deeply traumatized. And that's the part where we need to be able to go and get sorted out. And if you email me, Phil, successultranow@gmail.com, I'll hook you up with someone in the UK that will definitely be able to help you shift anything specifically related to deep inner child trauma.
Yeah. The last question we've got is on distilled water. Do you want to take that one, Nick?
Yeah, distilled water, they're wondering about, some people say it's good for you, some people say it's bad for you. Distilled water is amazingly good for you short term. It is acidic water, and it is empty water in it as soon as it comes out of the distiller. So it's slightly acidifying, and it is empty. That means it draws everything into it. So some people freak out, well, all the minerals in my body are going to get drawn into the distilled water if I drink it, and there's going to be no minerals left in my body. Well, that's absolute nonsense, because the minerals that are in the cell are in the cell, and they can't come out because you drink some distilled water. So distilled water is a very, very, very good short-term thing. It's the best cleansing water. It's good if you're on a cleanse, or you want to do some cleansing, or you want to fast on it for one day a week, or you want to drink it 3 days a week and have a little hardcore little cleansing thing. It's very, 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 very good for you. Paul Bragg was a big champion of distilled water. But if you want to drink it long term, if you want to buy a water distiller and drink distilled water, I love water distillers and love distilled water, then there's a couple of things you just need to do. One is to restructure the water so it actually has an energetic structure in it, the distillation process, which is very natural. It's what the sun does when it evaporates water vapor off the ocean. It distills the water, then it goes into the rain clouds, then it rains, and that the rain is distilled water. So it's slightly acidic with no minerals in it because they've all been evaporated out. If you want to drink it long-term, then there's a couple of things you need to do. You can do a little research on Gabriel Cousins, his protocol for restructuring and remineralizing water. Do a little Google search on restructuring, remineralizing water. Lots of different people have their different little tricks and ways of doing it. You can do it very, very simply by just chucking a couple of crystals in there. Crystals will restructure the water. You can squeeze some of Dr. Patrick Flanagan's mega hydrate in there, a few drops of that, and that will remineralize the water. You can alkalize it very easily by just chucking in some blades of grass, some wheat grass will do it. There's other ways of alkalizing it, just chucking in a little bit of green powder. There's an alkalizing substances you can put in there, a little bit of baking soda will alkalize it immediately. But as long as your diet is mainly alkaline, that's mostly, you know, fruit and vegetables and alkaline-forming food, then as long as it's 80% alkaline, it doesn't matter. You can drink as much of that water as you want. It won't acidify you. But if you have an acid diet, then it's going to make you more acidic. So it's really good for you. Don't worry about it. I love water distillers. I wish I had one here. I was on it when I was in the UK, and it's a gorgeous water to drink. It's so soft. It's that's one of the things, because it is soft and there's no minerals in it, it's one of the best things for you, and it leaches out the hard minerals, the calcium deposits in your body that you don't want in there. So there is a place for it, but like everything, you know, just do a little research and get yourself qualified on it. Gabriel Cousins and Paul Bragg are the two, I'd say, the two best authorities on it. Okie dokie.
Yay. Wonderful. Well, that was lovely. Have any last thoughts on anything at all?
No, I think we've had a well-rounded evening here.
It's yeah, I
just
have like
Brother Nick
sorry.
Back and sharing your knowledge and skills from lifetimes of experience.
Mm-hmm. Well, I want to thank everyone, and I'm feeling like renewed, regenerated after this trip to the UK, and super intense, and really felt like moving through so many time zones and so many different facets of the drama and the matrix. Just really had a, you know, really got in touch with what's going on grassroots levels in a lot of different places. And the most important thing now is to really stay deeply, deeply, deeply heart-centered. What the world needs now is love, sweet love. If we need to be absolutely disengaged, have the ability to disengage from the mental processes, which are hugely conditioned by the society and the culture that we've grown up in, and also disengage from the survival fear centers, and really, really, really go deep into the heart space, through the layers of the heart, and through self-love, penetrating into that epicenter of unity consciousness within the heart, soul consciousness, so we can really merge and be in communion with our soul. But really loving that inner child and just regathering all the fragments, the fragmented facets of the psyche, reharmonizing all of the discordant pockets of our subconscious and unconscious mind that might be stuck in trauma from years gone by. It's very, very, very simple. It just requires you to be very gentle and loving towards yourself all time, connecting with the great love within us, which a lot of us are getting very good at, radiating and emanating that love outside into the outer world and through the love and blessings and the service, which a lot of us are getting very, very good at. But the part which most of us are not so good at is loving ourselves so deeply with so much patience and being very, very gentle and tender, especially if we're not performing up to these, you know, great high ideals that we might be projecting forward about ourselves, and things aren't happening as quickly as we like them or whatever it is. We need to really be gentle and loving and kind with ourselves and make sure that that inner realm, that inner child, the first membrane around the soul as it projects into form, that first membrane, absolutely core, essential to stabilizing that, healing that, creating that, because that is the foundation of your ability to anchor in your superhero ability in this world. More power, more and more power is coming in. We need the foundation to be very, very, very strong, very strong. Brother Michael.
Yay. Well, I think that sums it all up. It's a very high experience to have, but very practical, very tangible, and something that we all need to really pay attention to, about how we're feeling and what's really going on that deeper level. Acknowledge it, embrace it, come from the heart and really make those shifts. And that's what makes us superheroes. And, you know, we really appreciate you being here on the call, everyone who's shown up, everyone who's doing this program, because you're very unique beings who are changing your life practically in a way that is obvious to you and obvious to others. And that's what we need in the world, people who are actually living differently and are willing to look deeply and really go deep, because most people don't want to do it. And you are, and we're showing very deep, profound things with you every week, every 2 weeks, or, you know, in all the training. So just want to congratulate everyone, thank everyone, and just really share my personal appreciation for you even being here and how powerful that is. So thank you so much.
Yeah, and I just want to thank all those people that sent questions in. You know, that these questions are what really make up everything, all the dialogue of the call. So just a lot of appreciation for everyone, and Nick, who keeps us updated and gives us feedback on a weekly basis of how he's doing. So I really appreciate all of those that you stepped forward to ask questions.
Yeah.
And encourage more.
Yeah, absolutely. Yay. Well, hallelujah.
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 Well, let's have a little
week ever.
Little blessing.
Yeah.
Close with a little blessing.
Go for it, bro.
You want to lead us in a blessing, Taylor?
There's a lot of noise where I am right now, actually. It's probably not best banging noises.
Taylor? Okay.
Hello? Yes, I'm here. Sorry. We just had a little thunder clap.
Nice. You want to lead us in a little blessing? pristine power.
Okay. All right, so let us just come together in a grand union of heart and souls. Imagine all of us uniting at that deep level of connection, of timeless, eternal connection, where anything is possible. And who we are is a limitless being of light and love. And we have pure potential and power. And imagine just getting that big and allowing yourself to breathe at that level of your being. And just relax and open to receive that level of connection, that level of freedom, that level of joy and peace and balance. Just feel that in your core and radiating to your cells and nourishing your organs and all of your many systems, especially your nervous system. Just imagine that you could just have your nervous system be fed and recharged and refueled from this level of pure connection and divinity, and soothed. Just feel that. Your whole system just rippling out to all your cells and your nerves, as if your brain is just relaxing and exhaling. Your emotional state is being soothed and renewed. Your physical being deeply, deeply recharged and soothed. Any irritations just completely softening, dissolving, letting go into these bigger place of connection of who you are. And just allowing yourself to recharge at that level. And just from that place of peace and balance, imagine your heart being able to open and soften even more and take a more central spot in leading the way for you in your life, that you find yourself dropping into your heart to make your decisions and choices and gain clarity more and more and more, and sharing that heart space with others and finding true power and gratitude from this space of being. And just sending a wave of appreciation and love to everyone that's seeking these levels of connection and perhaps struggling and evolving and going through whatever it is they're going through in their life and holding a higher space of flow, alignment, and connection for them to tap into just by virtue of us sending that energetic out into the world right now, so that as they ask, they will receive whatever it is that they need in that moment to have peace and joy and hope. Just a great wave of gratitude for everyone in this program that's taking on their personal evolution and desiring to share that and be of service to others. And what a grand gift that is. And we encourage you to continue to share and feel that. Any needs you have, no matter how big or small, there's a great network of support to assist you. With that, may many, many blessings be upon each of you. Till we meet again.
Aloha.
Aloha.